I have a feeling that there may be someone tonight. Perhaps there is someone here tonight who is wondering and perhaps may even be concerned about what has just taken place. And you may be wondering, does not the Word of God say that let there be two or three in the congregation that speak in tongues? No more than that. What is going on here? I hear everybody speaking in tongues and all at the same time. Bible says that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Now, you better explain that to me before I decide that you guys are not operating in the Spirit, before I decide that something is wrong here. And if you have that question, let me just take a couple of minutes and show you some scripture concerning that. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Acts in the 10th chapter. This 10th chapter of the book of Acts is the discussion of Peter's visit to the house belonging to Cornelius, the Roman centurion. And Peter there in the 34th verse begins to preach a great sermon to Cornelius and his household. And he exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. And he preaches concerning the ministry of Jesus and what he did and how anointed him with power and with the Holy Ghost in verse 38. And then in verse 44, we're told that while Peter yet spake these words, in other words, while he was preaching, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Not just one of them. The Holy Ghost fell on all of them. And they of the circumcision which believed, that is, the Jews, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Now what happened there that day? As Peter was preaching the word, as he was exalting the Lord Jesus Christ under the anointing of the Spirit, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit filled that place. And all of them received Jesus as Savior. Their hearts' doors flew wide open and the Spirit of God came roaring in and they got the whole package. Boom, boom, like that. They get born again and taken into the kingdom of God and baptized in the Holy Ghost, and no one told them they're not supposed to speak in tongues, and so guess what? They did. And they all did it at the same time. And the Jews that came with Peter, they're looking around and saying, what is going on here? They were astonished at what they were seeing. And they said that the gift of the Holy Ghost was poured out on these Gentiles, and the way they knew it was because they all heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then Peter said, could anybody forbid water? We ought to get these guys baptized. You know, we ought to go ahead and since they give evidence to the witness of the Holy Spirit in their life, we need to go get some water and get them baptized and let them follow the Lord Jesus in water baptism. Now here was Cornelius and all of his household, his relatives and his servants. When the Holy Ghost fell on them, they all spake with tongues and magnified God. Now, it doesn't really say there, word for word, that they did it all at the same time, but it surely would have been strange for them to do it the whole household one at a time in military order. It just doesn't make much sense. Now, if you'll turn to Acts 2, we see another example of a very similar occurrence on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit of God came in the place where the disciples were. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. They were all, that is all, that is all, that is all, filled with the Holy Ghost. Not one, not two, not one at a time, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation and out of heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And it was so confusing to them. It was such a startling exhibition to them that in verse number 11, 9, 10, and 11, well, 8 through 11, actually, they're discussing it among themselves. How do we hear all of these people in our own tongue? And it lists 14 different languages there, and there are likely to be have been more. But at least 14 are identified. And here were all of these people on the day of Pentecost, the day the Holy Spirit came, and they were speaking at the same time a great many different languages. And what were they doing? Speaking in tongues the wonderful works of God. It was such a strange occurrence. In verse 12, we're told, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of wine. They're drunk. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these men are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Now there are two examples in the New Testament where you have multiple people praising, worshiping God in unknown tongues at the same time. What Paul is talking about over in 1 Corinthians 14 is everybody trying to bring messages in tongues at the same time. That's confusing, and it's out of order, and it's not anointed of the Holy Ghost. And let me give you an example. We had a brother over in this area here that brought a message in tongues earlier. There was not an interpretation right away, but properly, the congregation waited for that interpretation to come, rather than someone else jumping in and giving another message in tongues, and then another, and then another, and then another. And Paul said, if that kind of thing happens, people will come in, don't know what's going on, and they will think you're nuts. And they'll be right, because that's not right. And so when a message comes in tongues, when God is trying to speak to his people supernaturally, it is proper to wait for that interpretation to come. Generally, when the interpretation takes a long time to come, it's because someone is unwilling to give it. The Spirit of God has moved upon somebody and said, say this. And whoever that person is, either because of a doubt or because of an unwillingness to speak out for God or because of fear, will not speak that out. And then after a long pause, you get someone else who the Lord says, all right, now you do it. Or if that person won't, all right, now you do it. Now that's the reason you have those long pauses in there, is because someone has not yielded to the Spirit of God and has not been willing to go on and let that go. Normally when the gift of tongues is in operation and the gift of interpretation of tongues, normally the interpretation is given to the person who is to bring it at or about the same time the message in tongues is coming. Oftentimes the interpretation will be flowing in the person's mind, or at least a part of it, at the same time the message in tongues is coming. Most folks that interpret frequently or regularly will tell you that sometimes they'll have the interpretation or the beginning of it before the message in tongues even comes. And the message in tongues, when it comes, is the signal, okay, now get ready, here it is. See, this is your time. And so when you hear that long pause in there, it doesn't mean that somebody is dreaming up something to say. What you should be doing is praying, asking God to prompt that individual stronger, prompt them more turn up the juice a little bit, I guess you could say, and give a little stronger prompting so that it'll come on through. In the fourth chapter of Acts is another little story about the New Testament church. And this one, in verse number 23, is the story of Peter and John after they had been released from the Sanhedrin, from the Jewish council. And they had been threatened, and they had been commanded that they should never again teach in the name of Jesus. And they had said, well, you have to do what you have to do, and we have to do what we have to do. We're going to have to speak of what we've heard. And in verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they, this is the church now as a whole, when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. And so on down, you see the prayer And in verse number 30, verse 29, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now, do you suppose that when Peter and John came in, someone busily got out the typewriter and the mimeograph machine and typed out a prayer and put it in the bulletin for that evening prayer meeting so that everybody would know what to pray? The scripture says that they got together and lifted up their voice with one accord, and it records the prayer that they prayed. Now, how do you suppose they prayed that prayer? Do you suppose you could get 20 or 30 people together and say, "Now, we're all going to pray"? Everybody start out praying in English, and they would pray exactly the same words. Do you suppose that would happen? How can a group pray the same prayer in one accord, all praying at the same time? How can that be done? In the Spirit, because the Spirit helpeth us in our infirmities or our weaknesses, because we don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit of God, you see, will give this sister in her language the same words, and give this sister the same in her language, different language, same words, and give this brother the same prayer in his language, and give this brother the same prayer in his language. And if you have 20 people, you have 20 different languages, but what's going to heaven? One prayer. Because who is sponsoring this prayer? Who is inspiring this prayer? It's the Holy Spirit. And so when we come together and I say to you, let us pray in the Spirit, what are we doing? We are allowing the Holy Spirit to pray the same prayer through all of us. And so we lift up our voices with one accord. Do you see how that works? Now, that's exactly what happened here in the New Testament church. So it is proper, you see, for Christians to gather together, Spirit-baptized Christians, and to pray in tongues out loud, everybody at the same time. It is proper for Spirit-baptized Christians to come together and to magnify the Lord, everybody at the same time, out loud in other tongues. It's scriptural. They did it in the Bible. If it was good enough for them, then bless the Lord, it's good enough for me. But it is important that we see the precept here. It's important that we see the example, because from time to time, people are coming into the fellowship and they do not understand, and it causes concern. So we need to be aware of that. All right, now I'm going to change gears just a little bit. 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, we had a report of a missionary journey to Lafayette, Alabama. And in the continuing saga of the missionary journeys of the Brazels to Lafayette, Alabama. It is Lafayette, is that right? Did I say it right? Lafayette. I'm going to ask them if they will come. They were there this weekend ministering to their mother-in-law once again. And just to share briefly what God did over there, and we'll see if God's still alive. We want to know whether God's really doing these things that He said in His Word that He would do. Linda, would you come, and whoever else was involved in...